Welcome to
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the International Association of Black Triathletes IABT radio show for triathletes. This evening we have a wonderful show for you. My name is Dr. Takima Dorsey and I am the Executive Director of IABT. And we are broadcasting live here on this wonderful spring evening here in sunny Maryland. The show focus is to educate and enhance participation of African Americans in the sport of triathlons as well as other triathletes regardless of their level of involvement or expertise in the sport. We have a wonderful guest this evening that I'm waiting to come on the line. For those who may not know anything about IABT, we would love for you to visit www.theiabt.org. If you ever want to be a guest, a sponsor, or advertise on our radio show, we would love for you to reach out to us and to email us at IABTTriathletes@gmail.com. We are getting ready to go live. You know, the whole point of why we created the IABT radio show for triathletes simply is to educate and inspire others to jumpstart their journey, to continue on their journey, or to advance their journey in the field of triathlon. Key about it for us as African Americans, and I would even expand it to the part of minorities, is the fact that as of 2009, African Americans occupied only 0.5% of representation in the sports of triathlon. Now, triathlons in itself started back in 1974. However, you know, such events such as half Ironmans and Ironman Kona quickly evolved in the 1980s, and now it's one of the most elite sports or an athletic event for adults today. But like with most distance sports, who you may not see in the crowd as often are African Americans. Unlike running, African Americans have increased and continue to compete on competitive levels that continue to break barriers. Here in the triathlon world, IABT is hoping to be that sounding board for so that we can begin to make a change and a difference in the sport for us. We identified last week that IABT identified our junior triathlete, our first set of junior triathletes who are Nia and Nathaniel Richardson from Chicago, Illinois, with their supermom, triathlete Katie Richardson. We will be sponsoring Nia and Nathaniel Richardson throughout the 2015 tri season on several levels. We'll be tracking them and see how they're doing. You know, they started swimming at the right age of 5, they scuba dive, and these individuals are magnificent at their young right age of 13. So if you missed that show last week, when we were chilling with the youngins, our junior IABT triathletes, please feel free to download that archive show today and be blessed. I have to tell you, for those young individuals to only be 13, they had mad wisdom, knowledge that they wanted to share with the audience. So I'm just hoping that you guys will be blessed as we were, and I was, in the time that I was with them. So we have a phenomenal guest this evening by the name of Anthony Malone, Atlanta, Georgia. And I think Anthony is on the line. Anthony, are you there? Let me try to bring him in. Anthony, how are you today?
I am excellent. How are you, Dr. Dorsey?
I am awesome. It is so phenomenal to hear from you. You know, I was like, okay, I wonder if he remembers the show tonight. And then as I started the show and started speaking, I spotted you chimed in, and I also got your message. So first and foremost, welcome to IBT Radio Show. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule. And so how are you today?
I am excellent. If I was any better, I'd be a twin. Seriously. I'm good.
You know what? There's nothing wrong being a twin. I think it has its pros and it has its cons. But, you know, anytime you're doing phenomenal things in the world, I think having a twin would always be good because you always know at least one person got your back, right?
That is true.
So, you know,
but I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I'm excited that you are part of the show this evening. And we have, you know, a jam-packed amount of information that I want to cover with you. And, you know, this is just one of our casual conversations between two people who have a great interest, which is that of triathlon, as well as making a difference in the sport. So for those of you guys that don't know, I have yet to meet Anthony Malone in person, but it doesn't even matter because I feel like I know him already because he is one of my connections on Facebook. Therefore, all of his, you know, wonderful work that he's doing pops up in my news feed. And I'm like, man, I wish I was down in that southern state of Georgia so I could be a part of all of these wonderful things that's going on. But for now, I'll just watch the videos.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm honored.
It's fine. So for those that are tuning in, we're speaking with Anthony Malone. He is one of IBT's Facebook group members. He is the founding editor-in-chief and founder of Atlanta's multi-sport magazine. And so as I've been a Facebook observer of IBT has, as well as myself, has been a Facebook observer of Anthony Malone for quite a while now. And so, you know, he's really, you know, taking on and embracing, trying to exploit, you know, for the betterment of the word, introducing people to triathlons. And what I love about what you're doing, Anthony, as we get started, is that I'm seeing a multitude of diversity. And I'm like, that's what it's about. You know, it's not dominated by one culture. It's not forgetting another culture. But it's really trying to embrace what triathlons are about. So, Anthony, we are eager to hear your views tonight. What are your thoughts on African Americans in triathlon?
Well,
this is general.
That's a good question. I think you did a very good job in giving everyone stats on where we are in terms of numbers. And I mean, everyone that I've met, and I've been very, very fortunate to meet some fantastic athletes in this sport. And everyone that. And I don't want to overgeneralize because I haven't talked to people in, you know, I've talked to people in other states and in even other countries. But what I pretty much hear over and over again is really exposure. It's just people who have not been exposed to the sport. You have those who have been exposed because maybe they have individuals who are in the family who are triathletes, or maybe they've lived in areas where it was pretty commonplace to see an athlete, whether it's cycling or swimming. But for the most part, you have this whole issue of lack of exposure to the sport in the African American community. The other thing is resources. It's not a sport that is. It can be a very expensive sport. And so you have those of us who do not have the resources to afford. And in some ways, that is also being broken down because there's becoming a lot of stuff different groups that are now very supportive in terms of bringing the sport to urban areas and trying to also subsidize cycles and places to swim and so on and so forth. But it's not commonplace. You don't see that a lot, but I am starting to see some areas that are bringing that forward and doing a very good job, by the way. And so those are two things that I often hear when I talk to athletes, especially African-American athletes, and you ask the question, why are we not? I mean, I have to look at myself. I mean, I really did not know that much about the sport, and so I started to run. I started getting into marathoning and then really started. I've always admired people who swam, but, you know, really getting into the sport and really training for the sport or being around people who are certainly much advanced than I am. I'm a newbie. I am really a newbie. I'm not an Ironman. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm just beginning in the sport, but have such a love for it in other sports that my whole thing is just trying to bring the stories of these terrific athletes to the forefront so people do gain an understanding and an appreciation for the sport and hopefully will join the sport and be involved in the sport.
No, go ahead. If there was a delay in your speaking, so I apologize for appearing that I was cutting you off. Please continue your thoughts.
No, so exposure and certainly the resources from a financial standpoint, and there's others too. I mean, I hear there's a fear of water. Swimming is some people unfortunately are handicapped or they feel they're handicapped because of lack of having proper lessons to swim or really haven't been to swimming. Sometimes I hear from young ladies, African-American women, that talk about the issue of hair and how that becomes an issue. And here again, in all fairness, I'm not a female athlete. I know that there's plenty of them that are out there that are involved in the sport, and that may not be an issue for them, but that does come up in conversation. I mean, I am really at an advantage because I get an opportunity to really talk to and ask questions of a lot of fantastic athletes, people who have been in the sport for a long time and people who are new at the sport. So I get a good garden variety of feedback, especially when we work on these articles. And so you hear it all across the board. But primarily what I do here is resources and exposure, lack thereof. Those are the two things I hear.
You know, and what I loved about what you said, and I think this is what we may have in common, which is with your magazine and IBT, is that exposure. You know, in order to make a difference in this sport for African-Americans, and I say African-Americans because for IBT, that's our focus. However, when you're really trying to make an impact in the world, there's really no color barrier on it. So the point that I'm bringing full circle is what you're saying is that there is no way that a change can be made or difference can be made by one individual. So, but when you make it a collective effort, you know, when you're bringing all parties, whether it's all African Americans, whether it's all, you know, Caucasians, whether it's all Hispanics or, you know, whatever the case might be, then you start literally hearing the collective concerns and the differences that can be made. And then, like you said, that exposure, exposing people to exactly what the role is. And what I appreciate with what you're doing is that when I look at your videos and, you know, I look at the cover, you know, I don't see one dominant culture versus another. I see a collective. And for people that are tuning in, as we speak with Anthony Malone from Atlanta, Georgia, you know, we're talking about the diversity of the sport. You know, triathlons, like any other sport, is not dominated by one ethnic group or one culture. It is a universal language spoken that really allows people to connect. You know, the one thing that you talked about when you first started speaking on your views of African American is that, you know, dilemma that women go through with hair, i.e. especially African American women. But that concern of hair is not just an ethnic culture for female, you know, for African Americans. It is a woman issue. That's like Mr. Michael's, and, you know, like you said, the whole hair thing, you know, having too big of boobs or too much butt. You know, those are the things that hinder women as well as encourage women, because they're looking at, you know, the next person and say, you can't really look at a skinny person and say that they're more fit. Because a skinny person today can drop dead quicker than a person that has 10% more body fat than they're supposed to. So,
absolutely,
you know, that exposure and increasing people awareness is really, really important in making a difference. And I think that you embody that as you do your magazine articles and your visual, you know, pigmentations of what the sport actually looks like. And for those of you guys that are tuning in, this is IBT Radio Show for Triathletes. We're on with a dynamic individual out of Atlanta, Georgia, Anthony Malone. He's actually the founder and editor-in-chief of Atlanta Multisport Magazine. And we're going to take a short break. I want to give a shout-out to one of IBT's sponsors for the 2015 year, who has actually sponsored our organization, which is Nun Hydration Company. To find out more about Nun, please visit www.nuun.com. To take advantage of the discounts offered to IB members, please visit our website at www.theibt.org. Sign up to be a member of IBT, which is free, and then you will be able to take advantage of all of the discounts from our sponsor. So shout out to Nun, because what's most important next to nutrition is hydration. We never want you to go out on that course and end up falling out because you're experiencing a lot of sweat and you're not kind of making sure that you have that hydration in you that's needed. So back to our discussion tonight with Anthony Malone. So, can I call you Tony?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's so professional to call you Anthony, but I don't want to just make it appear like, you know, we're age boom bop, even though we really are. People just don't know that, and even though I haven't met you yet. But, you know, we're kinfolk.
I understand. Listen, that's the way it is.
So,
that's the way I like it.
You know, I love the fact that you talked about exposure and awareness. And so being able to dialogue with people from different cultures and backgrounds and geographic locations and socioeconomic status and athletic abilities, what do you think are some of the factors holding African Americans back, other than some of the things that you spoke about a moment ago?
Holding back from the standpoint of trying to get into the sport, or holding us back from the standpoint of togetherness in the sport? I would just say, from a standpoint of getting in the sport, would be really for me, and for what I've been hearing from other athletes, is really just that. I mean, one of the major things is the water. That was one of the things that I have to and had to overcome, and that's why I got a coach. But beyond that too, there's some things that we have to also get over from the standpoint of, sometimes people look at this sport as being an elitist sport. You know, that some of the individuals in the sport, it's like, they may not have that emotional intelligence, if you will. They feel as though, you know, it's all about me. Okay, so what, you're a runner, but you're not a triathlete, and that sort of thing. And here again, the people that I associate with are individuals that are not like that. And they're the ones that are really very supportive of anyone that's coming in that's new to the sport, and they're very humble. But we do have those individuals out there, unfortunately, they have that elitist mentality, and they're not very supportive. And you know what? It's not just triathletes. I don't want to leave that on the shoulders of triathletes. That's in every sport. That's in running. That's in cycling. That's in OCR, obstacle course racing, whatever. You just have people that say, hey, like, I'm doing this and you're not. I'm doing this and maybe you don't look the part, or I'm doing this, maybe you shouldn't be doing it because you don't run fast enough or you don't swim fast enough or whatever, without realizing that, hey, guess what? Everyone had a starting point.
Yep.
Everyone had a starting point. And so I think that's unfair in – and they know it's unfair. I mean, I get feedback from people say, hey, listen, this person is this way. And you know what? I try to keep it positive. In fact, I don't even want to dwell on that, other than the fact that we have to understand that that does happen. That's being real and being realistic. Wherever you have any sport, not only triathlons or in this sport of triathlon, you have individuals that have that where they feel they're better than someone else. And that goes across, that's not just in the African-American culture, that's in any culture. I mean, I've dealt with individuals who they just felt that way. And at the end of the day, it's silly. At the end of the day, it really doesn't give back to anything. It doesn't give back to the sport. And you know what? I'm like this. I just avoid that. Those are free radicals. I don't deal with free radicals. I stopped certainly a long time ago. I stopped using that phrase haters. I think that went out with 2014. Now for me, the new word is free radical. So I stopped dealing with any free radicals now. Just leave them alone.
How you tied one thing into the next. You know, as we talk about barriers of why this sport for African American is hindering growth. And you're right, it is part of that fear that's there of the unknown, which can be overcome if people really want to expose themselves. You know, the number one thing that we have going against us is humans, and it's not even categorized down into ethnicities. It's the fact of ignorance, you know, and it's honest ignorance. You know, things that you are unaware of are not really things that you can really speak on to say that you don't want to do it because you haven't really opened your mind up to it, you know. But
absolutely,
most things that people run away from are actually the things that are best for them. So, you know, and
absolutely,
I think that's an encouraging moment there, and really kind of speaking to where we were going with strategies. You know, if people are interested in trying, like you said, you might not be the strongest swimmer, but you might be an avid runner, you know, an okay cyclist. And, you know, you don't have to start out at the half Ironman, you know, race level. You can start off from a pool event, you know, walking up and getting in a pool. How about that? You know, get on a
bike.
You know, lace up your shoes and go outside and start running.
Absolutely,
those are things that will hinder us from growing as an ethnicity in the sport. But you also segued, you kind of went around and directly addressed why we as a collective group, what we could do to advance each other versus knocking each other down within our culture, because there is no African American I know that has won Ironman, you know, or has even won too many half Ironman, or are at the top of the game in terms of any triathlon distance. You know,
yeah.
So there really shouldn't be this elitist attitude, you know, and
right.
I'm not speaking of the Caucasian race because, I mean, even though I'm a mixed up individual, I mean, I'm African American when you see me. So when you're talking, you know, exclusively within our culture, there should not be this me looking down at you because I've been trying for 20 years and you just started. Because you can take a newbie and in a matter of a season and excel a person that's been trying for years, you know, and then what? You know, should that person say, hey, I'm better than you because I've completed a distance you haven't even tried or you tried and failed? Absolutely not. So I love how you segue into that, and I think it's important for our members that are tuning in that regardless of what level you are, just respect yourself, respect the sport, reach back and help the next person, because you never know when that person who you're knocking is going to be your greatest advocate to help you get through.
Absolutely.
So,
but if I can also go back to the strategies to increase our participation, I mean, that was one aspect, but I've seen I've seen some groups really do excellent jobs with respect to going into the classrooms and talking about TRI. I think that that's a way to get, and I'm not just talking about the high schools, the junior highs. We need to work with youth. Certainly that will increase our participation. And it'd be one of the things that we're trying to do with the magazine is make it sexy. You know, we want the, and when I say sexy, I'm not looking at a certain group. You don't have to be a certain weight or a certain look. Just make it look sexy. We are very, you know, people are very visual. I mean, the newest sneaker that's out now is the Adidas, and they're touting the sneaker to be the best sneaker in the world. That's all marketing. But people
that's
are jumping
crap,
to
okay.
and buying these sneakers. Yeah, well, I'm going to keep it nice. I just say people are jumping at it. I mean, well, look, I'm old school. I mean, I remember when Nike first came out. And
right. And
people were not buying Nike because they used to thought they would look like moon boots. Everybody was into Converse. But with the marketing and getting athletes involved, and I think the more you see more athletes get involved in triathlon, especially those who weren't typically triathletes now getting into the sport, I think that's going to make it interesting to some youth or interesting to some people. And so I think that is part and parcel of it, but also educating by going into the classrooms and talking about it and just avenues where you can go and reach people that typically are not exposed to it. And so instead of one of the things I would love to see is instead of us, and it's okay to tote your medals and be proud of what you've done, but I would love to see us going into hospitals and sharing our medals or, you know, going into youth groups and talking about the sport and doing more of that. You know, there are a lot of individuals that are out here that are disabled that would love to race.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working with the Kyle Pease Foundation now, but, you know, we have a lot of African-American athletes that unfortunately are not doing that. And that's all exposure. That's all getting it out there and saying, hey, this is a feel-good sport, but it's also a sport that you can get others involved that can't participate in the sport. You know, you have a lot of people who are going through physical therapy, and this would be an excellent way to get them in the pool and be a part of that, be a part of that development instead of, you know, self-marketing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But at the same token, we also need to say, listen, at the end of the day, who is it helping? Who is it benefiting? Is it, you know, who is it really benefiting? It's benefiting you. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we have a number of people, and I'll throw myself in the pot. We like seeing ourselves in a good light. There's nothing wrong with that. That's because guess what? If we don't, who else will? But we can also give back. We can also give back, and I think that's also another strategy. I'm working with different organizations that are working with children and getting children involved in triathlon, getting other groups like people who suffer from disability, getting them involved in triathlon. Even a lot of our service people that are coming back who have injuries and are working through different issues, getting them involved in triathlon. You know,
right.
So
and you're absolutely correct. You know, IBT, when we transitioned from that Facebook group to an actual organization, you know, pending our nonprofit status, we immediately knew right off the bat what we wanted to do. And so for us, what's important to be able to change that face. Or again, outside of just the things that we do internally, program-wise, you know, the launch of the radio show. But, you know, for us to make that difference in our eyes is to reach back to the youth. So that's why we have adopted the, you know, two youth junior triathletes, and we're adopting now, or have adopted junior youth triathlon organization that will be, we're working on providing financial assistance for their event that's coming up in June. So you're right, for everyone, each one teach one. But I think what you're talking about in terms of individuals speaking back, you have to have, as an individual, individual a spirit of humility, you know, and that can't be taught. That's something innate. You know, that is something that motivates individuals because they know that they have achieved a level and they don't mind sharing. But then I think that goes back also when you talk about those individuals which what divides us as a culture, and not just us, just cultures in general, where people feel like they're superior to others, and so it's an us versus you kind of mentality. And we can take it away from sports. You know, like you said, it's not just triathlons, it's running, it's cycling, but it's also the same case when you're talking about degree programs or, you know, elevation in organizations. That is just something as it relates to humans in general. So, you know, some people really stop smelling themselves or, you know, stopping patting themselves on the back or, you know, I would just say, when people realize in life that there's really no I in team, that you got to where you are because someone along the way helped you, then that's when that people embody that teamwork, and then that's where they, I think more people will then reach back, not for a dollar, but for pure transparency and honesty and, you know, genuinity and wanting to help. I think that's when there will be really a big increase or big shift, but you know that's a humanity issue, Tony. That I think the world would have to be wiped out and restarted all over again.
I still have hope. I'm still trying to keep hope alive. I still have hope.
I don't know, Tony.
I still have
but
hope.
But you know
I
what?
Do.
I fight the power with you.
Okay, thank you. We both.
You're
do.
Welcome.
I tell you another. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
That's okay. Yeah, really quick. We need to. I want to give another commercial break shout out to TYR, which is another sponsor for IBT organization. TYR is a full apparel organization that supports gear for triathletes, nutrition, hydration, books. To learn more about TYR, please visit www.tyr.com. You can find out more about TYR and IBT's collaboration and partnership on our website at www.theibt.org. While you're there, please feel free to register and be an official member of IBT, which is free. You will find it as the second tab up on our website. And be sure to give TYR a shout-out. And let them know that IBT sent you. For those of you guys that are tuning in, we're talking to Anthony Malone, one of our IBT Facebook group members. He's doing an awesome job in the Atlanta area. And we're here talking to him not only just about views on African Americans, but strategies and factors that will have held us back as a culture in a group. And so, Tony, you were going to mention something before that commercial break.
Yes, I was going to say one of the organizations that we're dealing with, and they're actually in Dallas, but they're very instrumental with working with children, getting children involved in the sport of triathlon. So one of the things that they're doing that I was really excited about is really getting the parents involved. That was exciting because it's one thing saying, okay, my kids are swimming. I'm just going to drop them off at the pools for their coach to now take over, and I'm going to go to the mall or whatever they're going. Instead, this group in particular, they get the parents involved, in which they are in the pool as well. They're learning how to swim as well versus just using this as a way to getting the kids out and getting them exposed to the sport, but not that involvement where they're actually learning how to swim themselves, which I think is an excellent idea. And so now you have the parent and the child, and not necessarily in the same pool, but they're in maybe a neighboring pool. But the child can literally see their parents swim and learning how to swim as well. And so, I mean, people are just so creative, coming up with great things, but you have to be willing to try new things and to make it happen. So this conversation in itself that question is an excellent question. And I'm sure there's even listeners that probably say, you know what, I can get more involved. We can, you know, you can even do this to get more as a strategy to get more people involved. But you have to be willing to do something. Instead of talk a good game, you have to be able, you know, willing to do it and say, hey, listen, I love this sport so much. I do want to increase the numbers because if I'm having this much fun, I want others to share. And guess what? Leave a legacy. So many of us don't, we don't leave legacies, you know, unfortunately. Like some, I had this conversation with a fellow athlete. We were talking, he is a very experienced triathlete, but we were just talking about, you know, leaving a legacy, and his legacy was really beautiful, really just to more or less not only educate younger people to be triathletes, but he knows as time goes on, he's not going to be able to do this thing forever. But what can he leave? I mean, what footprints in the sand can he leave to other people? So he's very active in getting active in terms of training the new generation, as well as training people who, because I'm seeing a lot of people who are starting this sport at a later age, like myself. I started swimming at a later age. I just started swimming the last 2 years. But something I wanted to do, you know, something I wanted to do. And so it's not only the youth, but it's also these baby boomers are going to be retiring soon. So it's like, what are they doing? And a lot of them are very active. They were very active in their youth, and they want to continue that. So,
you know, go ahead.
No, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
You know, some things that you were saying is what we heard from our guest last week, which was Katie Richardson, who is the mom of the junior triathletes, the junior IBT triathletes. You know, when she was sharing that when the twins, Nia and McDaniel, were actually like 3 or 4 years old, and, you know, they went boating on a vacation or something, and all of a sudden, you know, the guy wanted them to go, handed them snorkels and fins and told them that, you know, they're in the middle of the ocean, and they're like, come on, jump in. And, you know, Katie was saying as a mom, you know, she hadn't even learned how to swim. But her youngest, well, not youngest because they're twins, but her son, Nathaniel, took the snorkel in the fins. She turned around, he jumped in the water, you know, never had been, you know, engaged in swimming lessons at all. And he came up out of there smiling. No problem. All of a sudden,
wow,
he just had this interest. And from there, she was saying, you know what? This is an interest for them. But not only should it be an interest for them, but I need to learn how to swim. So that role model that you're referring to, absolutely, just like with education, it begins and ends in a home. You know, children are quick to mimic what they see adults doing. You know, and what better way than to show them how it's done than the people they trust the most? But then it also led me to something as what you were saying. You're right. A lot of the baby boomers and older generation, and as well as the youth, you know, you're never too old to get started. But the key is, you know, how healthy do you want to be to get to the age that you
exactly.
You're 60 and 70s and not having to, you know, take a table full of pills because you just allowed yourself to go, you know, with no activity. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. I love this because it's not only with the youth, but it's the individuals that haven't done this before that's looking to, you know, continue to stay healthy, and they don't want to live a life of just pills and living instead of, you know, a life which they are not active. There are so many people here now, even just looking at the various age groups, and I've been very fortunate to work in the senior assisted living for some years as an executive in HR, but there are so many people who are there that they just don't want to sit around and watch and wait to die. They just don't. And so I have a very good friend who's actually an Ironman, and his mom is now going back and is She has a swim coach, and she's getting into the sport, and I am so proud of her. I mean, I met this woman at the gym when I first started my health journey. But you know, just to see that transition from her going to, hey, listen, she was going to the gym to running, and now working on her, being a triathlete. It's just amazing. So for me, it's universal. It's not just the kids. I mean, that's certainly our lifeline. That's certainly to keep putting more people in this. But it's also people who are looking to change their lifestyle, and that's a big part of what this magazine is about, is really lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
How you can go from one thing and go into something else to perpetuate a better lifestyle for yourself and for your family. I mean, when I started as a marathoner. I started running. I got my sons involved. And mm-hmm. one of the first marathons we did was in Europe. We didn't even do it here. We actually did it in Spain. So these guys, they went from not running or not being marathoners to training and then going over to another country and running a marathon. And for me, a father, that's huge. I mean, running
mm-hmm.
with your kids, you know, so... And so they've passed that on. Yeah, they've become runners, and they've passed that on, and that's something that they like to do. And that's something, just like education, that's something no one could ever take away from you. I mean, that's amazing. It's amazing for me to be so fortunate to tell the stories of a lot of people. And I'm sure you've probably seen the three ladies who are going over to the Great Wall of China. You know, these women... I'm not even going to use the women. These people are just extraordinary individuals. I mean, these are people who said, "Listen, I'm going to do this, regardless of the obstacles. I'm going to do this because I want to and because I can." And it's just all inspiring. So, in order to look at how the change is going to happen in this sport. It's really going to be from people like yourself who have leadership. You're a trailblazer. You're a trailblazer. For you to have a radio show and having dialogue in this nature, who else has that? Who else is doing that right now? You know, so like you said, every bit counts, and it really impacts in our community. So thank you, and I'm very proud of what you're doing.
Oh, well, you know, on behalf of IEDC Executive Board, I say high five, son. High five, brother, high five. High five.
Absolutely.
And so I have to have another quick commercial break. We do have two big announcements, and one of those announcements is IEDC has picked up its sixth organizational sponsor, which is Sufferfest Organization. Woohoo! You know, we have been going after them for a while since we've had this organizational shift, and they have proudly decided to partner with IBT to offer cycling and training videos at a whopping 25% discount to our IBT members. And so we, on behalf of the Executive Board of IBT, we are uber excited in making this announcement tonight. You know, so we have great, you know, to be recognized by organizations and wanting to be sponsored by them really says a lot from an organizational standpoint. So, you know, we want to give a shout-out to Sufferfest. And the information for Sufferfest will be up on our website within the next 24 to 48 to 72 hours. So for those of you triathlete enthusiasts, whether you are new to the sport, want to get started, want to improve in your individual discipline, please be on the lookout to take advantage of the training opportunities from one of the leading training organizations in the nation that have provided training tips and videos for many Ironman and half Ironman. And we want to thank you, Sufferfest, for believing in IBT for the 2015 season, and we just appreciate you.
And so we are on the phone with Anthony Malone. If you are just joining in, I would encourage you to download this show once it's archived and listen to all of the wonderful information that's been shared tonight. Anthony Malone is full of wisdom. He is the founder and editor-in-chief of Atlanta Multisport Triathlon Magazine. And we are beginning to wrap up, but I want you, Tony, to help us to understand, you know, what is the purpose of your magazine? And what are you hoping that it will do for people in general?
Especially that's a good
African question. Americans, because I can't be biased. You know, that's what the show is about.
In short, here's the magazine. Just the magazine is really to get people active, and also to tell their stories. We're looking for stories that inspire and motivate other people to also get active. But the magazine is a resource. Imagine this. This is a multi-sport magazine. We call it the Esquire of multi-sport magazines. We don't want to be triathlon. We want to be fashion. We want to be music. We want to be all of the various extreme sports, whether it's obstacle racing to triathloning, cycling to mountain biking. But we want it also to be global. We just don't want – it's not just an Atlanta-based magazine. It just so happens that we're in Atlanta. But we're getting stories – York, we're getting stories from France, we're getting stories from Great Britain, and bringing all of these stories together. And all of these stories, they pretty much have four different themes. They're either stories of inspiration, stories of lifestyle changes, stories of people who have changed their life because of health issues, and then those who are just daredevils. Those are just rockers that say, hey, listen, you just can't dare me to do something. I'm just going to do it. But the most part is really just bringing the stories to life and that you can touch these stories and you can feel these stories. It's unlike Facebook. I love Facebook. Listen, if it wasn't for Facebook, we wouldn't be where we are and where we're going. But a lot of times we post things and then that's it. It's gone. It's gone forever. And it's a great story. These stories are documented and they're archived, so people literally get their story. And this is a magazine. You're literally are captured in time. And so, driving force of this is really listening to people's stories who are either couch potatoes and they got off the couch and now they're Iron Man, or you know what, this person's never going to be an Iron Man. They don't want to. They just want to do their first 5K, which is bigger than the Iron Man. You know, so it's really about motivating people of all, and I say, even though, yes, I thrust this magazine is getting more diverse on the front covers and in the pages, because guess what? We do matter. We matter.
We do matter.
Exactly. And so why shouldn't we be on these pages? Why shouldn't we be in the advertisement? Why do we have to, you know, why do we have to have other people on it when we are just as great? And so, and it's not just the African American. I'm looking at all different types of nationalities being on this cover, because guess what? We all matter. Everyone matters.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just don't want anyone getting the short end of the stick. Because that's not the real world. When you go out of your house and you go places, there is so much diversity in this world. But if you open up some of the magazines, you think it's just one people, one class of people, and that's it. And that's not reality. And a lot of us are living in fantasy, and a lot of us take that, and we're ashamed of ourselves. We should not be ashamed of ourselves. And this magazine wants us to be proud of us because we have some great accomplishments. And why shouldn't we advertise it and be out in the forefront of it?
Right. You know, I'm curious as I hear you talk about the melting pot theory, you know, which is truly what the world is made of. But, you know, we talked about, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that African Americans are only 0.5% of representation in the sport. What setbacks have you encountered, and how did you overcome that adversity when it came to African American culture and population by you launching this magazine and you're having quite a few diverse individuals as a part and on the cover? You know, what setback did you experience, and how did you overcome it?
It's a day to day. It's not. I haven't overcome it. It's a day to day. Every day, or I'm in situations, not situations. I come encounter with people that ask me questions about the magazine every day, and some of those questions are funny to me, and they're funny because you can't get mad at the question. For instance, no, seriously, not all. Some of my white constituents will say to me, "Whose magazine is it? Who came up with the idea?" And so you're like, wow, we can't come up with this idea? Some of them, not all, though, so I don't want to get it twisted. Now, for my African-American constituent, what I get is, can I be in it? Not even worrying about the business part sometimes, I just want to be in it. You know, it's a selfie for me. Or some of them are so protective of what they're doing, their little world, they're like, let me just see how the magazine is going to go first before I get in. You know, so it's almost like, you know, I don't trust that black doctor. I'd rather get, and seriously, I've had people that say, you know what you told me, I had to go ask, almost like, I got to go and ask a white triathlete before I can trust with you, with your magazine. And I was like, really? So it really has no place. In fact, for the longest, when I first brought the magazine out, I would tell people I was working for the magazine, because, you know what, personally, if you're that ignorant, I don't even want you to know. Just get the magazine. Who cares? But now, I've always been proud that this was started by young. And I say young. It started with me, my son, some of my son's friends, and my nephew started this magazine. And so for us, it was an idea that I had that I said, you know, I'm just tired of not seeing us represented in magazines. And I love this sports triathlon, and it came. I said, you know what, why don't we do something like this? And they were like, hey, I had one guy who was a photographer. My son's a cinematographer. And we said, let's do it. But you'd be surprised from both sides, the ignorance of the questions. I mean, I was in a photo shoot over the weekend, and someone says, Tony, I really couldn't believe you did all of this. You put this together? I'm like, are you kidding me? Not only do I hold a master's degree, I'm a business professional. I've been an executive for years. It's like, okay, we can't do this? And it's just not a white thing. I get the same question from other ethnic groups. So that's telling me, hey, listen, we as people need to stop being consumers, because that's what we consume a lot, and start being our own business people. Guess what? We give all of this money to Nike and everything. Come up with your own dope sneaker. You know, we give all of this money and equipment. I'm working with some people right now to help produce a hair care product for black female triathletes. Don't complain about the problem. Go and fix it and make some money off of it. But we don't want, some of us, not all of us, some of us, because believe me, and I don't want to get it twisted on the show, I'm not saying all of the people. It's some people come to me with these ideas. And guess what? Shame on us, because if this is what we're depicting to people, it's unfortunate. And we need to break those barriers.
And you know what? It's not a thing. And I have to tell you, I've been a radio show host since right around 2005. And so when IBT launched this radio show for triathletes, you know, we knew who it was that we had already admired in the sport and wanted to really bring on, not from a, you know, really promoting them, but just we felt that they had knowledge and wisdom that they could share. So, you know, because this is, you know, it's an IBT radio show, but this is like my baby project. So, of course, I started reaching out to people, and the very thing that you said, and I think it is a cultural thing, and I think this is where it's an us versus them kind of thing. You know, we reached out to people from an organizational standpoint and, you know, wanted to bring them on, which would do more for them than us, right? You know, we're spotlighting you as an expert. You know, we want to hear your voice. And just like what you said, we got questions like, you know, what is your listenership?
and, you know, let me hear it a few times and let me go up. And then I'm thinking to myself, we are, the IGT executive board are business professionals. We are not idiots. If we roll out something that's anything less than our standard, then we're failing ourselves, which means that in hindsight, we don't just fail you, we fail us. So, you know, we're slow to post stuff and roll out. We don't jump on a hype bandwagon because this is an organizational infrastructure that we want to last for years to come. That means that everything we do has a purpose behind it, not just because we're doing it. So, you know, it's funny to hear you say that, but I have to tell you, it is, and this is just all from us. We haven't even approached anybody else of any ethnicity, and we were getting backlash. And I was thinking to myself, like, are you serious? Like, okay, whatever. Off my soapbox.
Yeah.
But I have to support you. You're absolutely correct. And it's funny because you're here in some instances when it's small business, you know, right around Thanksgiving, you know, they're like, support black businesses and, you know, only buy from black businesses and black on black. And I'm thinking to myself, you can't even believe the hype that you're saying, because when African-American people who are offering programs approach you, you second-guess them.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. And that's unfortunate. It really, really is. And it just goes to show you, what it goes to show me is this. Listen, I don't care who you are, as long as your money's not funny and you're giving me good guidance and you want to help. I mean, I literally have people who are non-minority join the magazine. And they said, Tony, I don't want to wait until it gets popular. I want to get on the ground floor because
right.
I see the potential in the magazine. Then I have some, unfortunately, I have some minorities that said, I'm going to wait to see. And I'm like, are you serious? And then at the same token, I have a lot of minority, a lot of African
Tony, I can't hear you. You're fading.
I'm sorry. Then I have, on the other hand, that's why I said it's not just one. I have, on the other hand, a lot of African-Americans that are very positive and want to help, even from the standpoint of investors. And so it's really who you are around, who's really willing to break down the barriers and who are visionaries. I find, regardless of what your background is, what your nationality is, if you're a visionary and if you're willing to trust people with them, those are the people who are going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And those other people who have issues, guess what? They're going to have issues.
Right.
Yeah. For me, this magazine is for everyone, but it's an emphasis on those who have not been represented, period.
Right.
So,
what's next for you guys? You know, you guys have been around for a while now. What is in store for you guys for the remainder of the 2015 season?
For the season, it's really following other athletes. We're really trying to get more of a global appeal. We're going to be introducing a lot more of the fashion, a lot more serious stories, serious documents, or articles, rather, on individuals who are inspiring people, other people. We have some great stories. I mean, we're highlighting a gentleman who unfortunately has cystic fibrosis, and he's a runner. Another young lady who has a weight change, we're highlighting her. And we're also following people who this is their first marathon or this is their first try, and just making sure that we have those stories that are going to appeal and attract to individuals to motivate them to be active. We're going to start having more and more articles on young adults in the sport, so that will help springboard us into capturing that audience as well. And so we just have so many ideas, and we're open to ideas. That's the beautiful thing about the magazine, too, is I'm not Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't have all these ideas. We look to go and we gather information from other people who are in the industry and try to make it work. And so it's just what's in store for the magazine is greatness. It's just getting to the table and making sure that we get great stories and it becomes a great magazine. We really want this to surpass a lot of the other magazines that's out there on the market now.
Yeah, and it's nothing
we
wrong
also,
with having high goals.
Absolutely. And we're looking at opening up, I was telling people, we're looking at opening up restaurants. We don't have, you know, there's so many athletes that have all of these medals in their draw and you know, packed away in boxes and stuff. So we're looking to open up a more of a multi-sport restaurant for people because I'm a big connoisseur. I love going out for good food. But the service in our country stinks. The food in our country is less than standard. And for an athlete, there's nowhere that you go to a restaurant, there's nowhere to hang your bike, you know. So it's like we're going to be looking at different other different businesses to really get into, especially that appeals to athletes. And so that's look for that coming soon in Atlanta, and who knows, you know, once we get this the momentum behind it. But really looking to really push multi-sport in a different manner and really make it, really here again, create this whole lifestyle and how it's just not the sport, but it's just the lifestyle
and
how that carries through to a lot of things.
And so who helped you? Is this set up as a for-profit? Is it a non-profit? Is it, what kind of entity is it, and what does your support group look like? Because that's some, I mean, I'm like, I'm all for it. Dream big, live big, make it happen. How are you not pulling your hair out? You know, I know you might be bald, but I'm just saying, how do you, you know, literally pull your hair out to make this work, you know?
In short, it's just thinking positive and saying, we're going to do this. I mean, I say to myself, I try to give myself positive affirmations all the time. We can do this, and we will do this. Not we can, we will do this. And I'm very fortunate that I've had the savings, and now I'm working with some good people that, and here again, we're working on sponsors to make these things happen. But the bottom line is it will happen.
Right.
And so we are a for-profit, we are a business, and with this business, I'm also trying to teach the young people who are involved in this business how to run a business. Too many times, you know, I spent the last 2 years of not having to work because of a company that I left afforded 2 years severance, and basically the stories that I heard were most people going to work hating what they did. But they weren't willing to change their circumstance. And so if anything, if I do anything and leave anything to be said, it's like, listen, follow your dream and make it happen. It's only going to be as good as you making it happen. And you have to want
it.
And you have to make sacrifice. And you have to believe it, even when other people may not believe in you. And sometimes that's your own family. You know, my family's been very supportive, but you got people that say, you know what, we still got to pay the bills. We still have to do it. And that's all that's true, but guess what? You're going to die paying bills. You know,
right,
you,
yeah, you'll always be broke.
You're always going to be paid. Well, you're always going to have some bill to pay, even if you have the money to pay it.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is how many people do pursue their dreams and pursue what they really like to do and say, hey, I want to do something that's going to make a difference not only in my life but in the lives of other people. So, yeah, we're trying to make a profit. We're trying to do what any other magazine is trying to do and for survival. Then we're going to do it.
Yeah, and so your magazine, the knowledge shared, is it from what I gather, and of course I don't know, so I don't want to sound definitive, is it just an online magazine or is it also print?
It's online, but this year we decided to go print and online. When we made it print, sales just went right out of the window. And so yeah, it's both now. It's digital and it's in print.
This is awesome. We are actually wrapping up this show, this awesome show with Anthony Malone, who is the founder and editor-in-chief of Atlanta Multisport Triathlon Magazine. And, you know, IBT does not support or, I mean, not, you know, publicize other organizations because we really want to just focus on the content. But, you know, I look at bringing you on, Tony, as the print version of our radio show, you know, because the information shared, the dialogue, the tips, the strategies, the overcoming adversities, you know, all of those things we embody here on the show, but you guys are touching in your magazine subscription. So, you know,
yes.
For those that are listening, you know, again, we don't allow our guests to do self-promotion because it's net for us from IPP, you know, the executive board ourselves, we have such a vast background, but it's not about us. It's about what we're trying to do, that legacy, that making a difference, that, you know, adding the voice, you know, adding knowledge to make a difference for someone else. So, you know, for those people that are listening, I would encourage you to archive this show, get your copy of the magazine, digital or print. Again, it's not about Anthony Malone, but it is about the inspiration, the motivation, the encouragement, and the reality of what's going on with others in the world, because you never know where when a person that you feel looking at them is less than you, that can have the greatest impact on your life, making a difference. So I love the diversity of what you guys stand for. You know, kudos to all of your efforts moving forward. IBT loves what you guys are doing. Obviously, that's why you're here on the show.
Thank you so much.
And you are so welcome. And I'm looking for that multi-sport restaurant to come, because I have to tell you, I'm an Atlanta fan, and I will be the first one coming down with my family, who are also
we would love to have you.
IBT would be looking forward to our invitation to the grand opening. I don't care if it's, God willing, between 1 or 5 years. That, like you said, for athletes to be able to bring their bike in and hang it up on a rack and eat and then go leave out and go
finish riding.
Oh, my goodness. You would shut down Atlanta. You know, a Frank Skinner would be calling you. Look, how do we become a part of this, you know? So I just absolutely love it. So, again, this is a phenomenal movement that's happening for African-Americans, but for just people in general, the world is a huge melting pot. So I'm hoping that people walk away from this show tonight being, you know, encouraged and motivated and inspired. And if not, just open your eyes. Look around you. You know, look outside the four walls of your day-to-day life. And, you know, you will be inspired. And we do have a major announcement from Anthony Malone, thank you so very much. I'm hoping to
thank you so much.
We're hoping to, you know, do a follow up with you, so maybe sometime in a fall, just to see how things are going. Absolutely. See, Tony and I are on first name basis now, so he will no longer call me Dr. Dorsey. I'm like TK to him. Right. He just hasn't said it yet. So, but I'm just breaking it there right now to kind of put it out
most
there.
Most respect.
So,
that's
right.
All. Just all respect. All respect. I just want to say one last thing, and that is keep inspiring, because that's what you guys are doing. Keep inspiring. You're doing a beautiful thing. I love the page. I love what you're doing, the organization is doing. Please keep inspiring.
Oh, thank you. And so we have a really huge announcement. It will actually not hit Facebook until tomorrow. So for our IBT listeners, and it's the IBT way, IBT is launching our book that will be a part of our web store when it opens. It's called A Beginner's Guide to Triathlete, Jumpstart Your Journey. And it is geared towards people who are new to the sport or who really want to get into the sport. We have our certified coaches and experts who have been writing this diligently to bring this book to fruition, which really supports IBT's mission and vision. And all of the money from the proceeds of the sale of this book will be poured back into our junior IBT and our triathlon youth group that we have adopted for the 2015 season, but we are uber excited to be the first organization not only to launch a radio show, but the first organization to actually launch a beginner's guide for triathletes entitled Jumpstart Your Journey. And no, it's not for those people that are going Ironman training. These are basic knowledge. It's a tool guide for you to get started. So you can Google anything. So you go to put it in application, and you know that, Tony, anything great in theory. But when you go to put it in application, it's barn all over again. So we're hoping that this tool guide for IBT will be a blessing to someone's lives, as well as our youth that also has segments in the book. So, yay! IBT making a difference, as well as the Atlanta Multisport Triathlon Magazine. So that's our big Uber announcement for tonight. And hopefully, again, you guys are inspired and support our fundraising effort. You know, and Tony, again, thank you so very much. And we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So until next time, for those people that are interested in finding out more about IBT, please visit us at www.theibt.org. For those people that want to be guests or sponsors or advertise on our radio show, please email us at ibttriathletes@gmail.com. So until the next time, we see you guys next Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Dr. Dorsey. We'll talk to you guys later. Anthony, I'll talk to you soon. Have a blessed evening, okay?
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.